Good morning. Today I'm going to be talking about faith. I think in normal everyday life, the word faith is used in multiple contexts. Some might say, I have faith that I can finish that 10K run. I have faith that my vegetable garden will take off. Or, I have faith that the Eagles will win another Super Bowl. For me this weekend, I have faith that the weather will get warm and stay warm into summer. Other things are spoken about as being faith-based. Family Promise is a faith-based organization. Groups from different faiths participate in helping temporarily homeless families get back on their feet. For the rest of my time, I'll be talking about having faith in the resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins so that we're able to approach an almighty, unapproachable God. In our gospel lesson from the book of John, chapter 21, we hear the story of the miraculous catch of fish. To put this story in perspective, we need to step back to the happenings in chapter 20. Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene on the morning of his resurrection at the tomb. Later that evening, he appeared to the disciples who were meeting in a room behind a locked door. The disciples rejoiced at the presence of Jesus, and Jesus immediately speaks of the mission he has for them. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He says this in verse 21. Jesus calls them to go out and spread the gospel. He then fills them with the power of the Holy Spirit and authorizes them to forgive sins. Now, they're receiving the Holy Spirit prior to it being released to all believers on the day of Pentecost. After this first encounter with Jesus, they were filled with peace, joy, and faith that Jesus was truly the Son of God. A week later, the disciples are back in a meeting in a locked room, and Jesus further convinces Thomas, who wasn't there the first time, that he has indeed risen, and Thomas needs to doubt no more. The Spirit has continued to work in the disciples, preparing them for their mission. The growth in their faith continues. The disciples' faith is not vague here. They had an open acceptance and trust for God through Jesus. John wrote of these events so that all future readers would come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, read here, having faith, you may have life in his name. Thus, chapter 20 ends with the disciples being full of faith and committed to spreading the gospel to all nations. So now we jump back to John chapter 21 and the miraculous catch of fish. In this passage, we find the disciples back in Galilee fishing. And they're fishing for fish. Jesus had told them to return to Galilee, but they seemed to be at a loss for what to do next. They seemed to resort to doing what they knew how to do before Jesus. It makes you wonder if they did not quite understand the commission Jesus had just given them to go out and be fishers of people. It's not a surprise that they were unable to catch any fish. That's not what they were supposed to be doing. After a night of coming up empty, they're dejectedly making their way back to shore in the darker hours of dawn. They see a man on the shore who recommends they try one more time and toss their net out of the right side of the boat. With nothing to lose, they take the recommendation of a stranger and instantly catch more fish than they can haul in. But ha! It was likely John who put together that this was only possible by the power of Jesus. They all then realize it's actually Jesus who was on the shore. Jesus was yet again teaching the disciples what they needed in order to be successful in their commission to gather disciples. They need to be obedient to the Lord for any of their labor to be fruitful. Once they obeyed Jesus, their fishing was bountiful. It took three personal visits from Jesus after his death for the disciples to understand that what they needed to be successful in their ministry was to trust and obey God through the guidance of his son Jesus. I would like to suggest that this is a reminder for us to follow Jesus' directives of having trust in him and our holy God during this time of battling COVID-19 and living in self-isolation. Unlike the disciples who had Jesus directly encouraging them, we need to rely on the faith that we heard about in our reading from Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Abel, Enoch, and Noah were all declared righteous by God for acting in faith. Our faith allows us to understand that the world around us was brought into being by an invisible word of God. Our faith allows us to trust that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Our faith allows us to trust in God and God's promises. In Matthew Henry's Bible commentary, he puts it that faith proves to the mind the reality of things that cannot be seen bodily by the eye. It is a full approval of all God has revealed as holy, just, and good. As a church, we've discussed spiritual gifts, and some of us went through the process of discovering which particular gifts God has given us individually that allow us to serve Him with joy. As a refresher, we read 1 Corinthians 27, verses 7 to 11 from the New Living Translation. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what that is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So whether faith falls on the upper part or lower part of your gifts, it is a precious, wonderful gift given it to all of us in part and parcel. Many people in the Bible were able to demonstrate supernatural reliance on God's promises, power, and presence. The faith equipped them to make heroic efforts for the church. Noah's act of faith set an example for his family and ultimately saved the human race from dying out. Joshua obeyed God and marched around the walls of Jericho until they fell down. He demonstrated to his troops what faith in God looked like. How have you seen God work in your life through small or large acts of faith? As a parent, one of my biggest challenges was the angst and concern I felt in ensuring my children chose a good college to go to. When I found that on each occasion my worry was overwhelming me, I reminded myself to trust in God for the decision. When I faithfully turned over my concerns to God, I felt at peace, and I could wait for the decision process to come to a natural end. Both of them ended up going exactly where they fit the best. Interestingly, my son ended up going the way I was praying God to send him. But my daughter Katie's decision worked a bit differently. God worked through me and changed my heart to understand that she was making the perfect choice for her. Either way, I had faith in God to lead His children, step out of the way, and be rewarded with peace and joy in their future directions. I look back on many other times that I put worry into God's hands and let Him take over. I do that today as my son has continued working in a hospital during the pandemic, and as my daughter has been called back to working in the office this past week. What burdens are you carrying that you can give over to God for His power and might to work through? During these difficult times, it can be tough to keep the faith or remain positive with the illness, isolation, and death we're having to face or hear about on a daily basis. It's particularly important to know now to be steadfast in our faith and to remain positive amongst all the uncertainty. The Pastor Greg Wilcox in a recent Facebook live stream suggested 5 practices that can help us keep our faith in a holy God strong during these times. He first suggests to take some time away. The isolation can give us too much time to ourselves, too much time to get stuck in our heads. Take a walk or a drive. Process what is going on. Take time to be able to think. Secondly, pray. Connect with the one you trust. Draw on the sense of the promise and power of God's love for you. Remember that you're not alone, and there is one who loves you. Laugh. Laughter is critical in heavy times. Take it on a moment to push away the heaviness and enjoy the lightheartedness of laughter. Laughter can lighten a heavy situation. Take time for something or someone you love. This can be family or friends. It can be a hobby. Focus on something that you love can really, giving it that focus can give you something to look forward to. Finally, be grateful. We tend to only focus on the negative. There's a whole lot of it out there. We're stuck at home. The businesses around us are closed. We can't go to the mall. We go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty. If we can intentionally look away from the negative things and focus on what we have to be grateful for, that can significantly shift our perspective and our attitude. I pray today that you hold on tight to your faith and do what it takes to keep it strong. By keeping our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are able to approach God through His Son with our sins and our burdens. By the blood of the Lamb of God, the barriers have been broken. And through our faith, the doors have been opened to approach the unapproachable light of God through Jesus Christ as His Son. Hallelujah. Amen.